Please turn in the back of the Psalter hymnal to page 27, the Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 20, question and answer 53, page 27. Question asks this: what do you believe concerning the Holy Spirit? First, He as well as the Father and the Son is eternal God. Second, He has been given to me personally, so that by true faith He makes me share in Christ and all His blessings, comforts me, and remains with me forever. And please also take your Bibles and turn in them, the New Testament, first to the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 15. This is page 1223, the Pew Bibles. We'll read, beginning at the second part of verse 44, 1 Corinthians 15. People of God, hear now the word of God. If there is a natural body, there is also a spiritual body. Thus it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. But it is not the spiritual that is first, but the natural, and then the spiritual. The first man was from the earth, a man of dust. The second man is from heaven. As was the man of dust, so also are those who are of the dust. And as is the man of heaven, so also are those who are of heaven. Just as we have borne the image of the man of dust, we shall also bear the image of the man of heaven. Let us turn over to the book of Galatians, chapter 4, page 1238. 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians. Galatians 4, verse 4. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth His Son, born of woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father! So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. And then turning over the page to chapter 5, beginning at verse 16. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other, to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. Thus far the reading of the Word of God. Congregation, we ask, is the Holy Spirit present in our church? Is the Holy Spirit active in our church? Now, there are some people out there who would say, no, I don't hear different languages being spoken. I don't see people jumping around all excited. I don't see worshipers getting some religious feeling that is telling me about that. Did you catch the Spirit's presence and work already in this worship service? We're not talking about how you felt during the singing or during the baptism. We're talking about baptism itself, God's promise in baptism. We're talking about what we will experience momentarily, the preaching of the gospel. We're talking about you as you leave this place after the worship service, trusting God, loving neighbor. The Holy Spirit is very present. He is very active in our congregation. As I proclaim to you this evening, the Holy Spirit sanctifies God's people. The Holy Spirit sanctifies God's people. And first we consider this is authored by God. It's authored by God. Now, some weeks ago, we saw from Scripture, there's one God in three persons. The doctrine, we call the Trinity. This is who God is, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Each one fully, equally God, not taking or deriving their deity from another, but being God in and of each of them themselves. And maybe you remember back also the question answer 24, where the structure of the Christian faith is according to the persons of the Trinity. It's Trinitarian. God the Father in our creation, God the Son in our deliverance, God the Holy Spirit and our sanctification. That's what we have come to now in our consideration of the Christian faith. It's not just this question and answer. This deals directly with the Holy Spirit, but it's the rest of the Apostles' Creed. God the Holy Spirit and our sanctification. This question points to our sanctification. And what do we see? That our sanctification is authored by God. God is the author of our sanctification. Specifically, God the Holy Spirit is the author. Now, especially in our day, we need to confess these articles of the Christian faith. We need to confess that God is the author because of man exalting himself. Man saying, it is man that must make the decision. That only once man has decided for God, then God steps in. Once man has exerted his free will, taken that step, then God makes him to be born again, saves him. It's just the opposite. God is the author of our faith. He is the author of our Christian life. He is the author of our sanctification. True believers confess their faith in God, God the Holy Spirit. He is God. As God, He is the author of our salvation from beginning to end, including sanctification. It is God, the Holy Spirit, who grants the gift of new birth, regeneration, who grants the gift of faith to those whom He has regenerated, given new life to. This evening, we've witnessed baptism being administered to two babies, infants, both of them children of believers. What a wonderful biblical practice this is that points out how much we depend on God. He is the author. These babies can do nothing for themselves, nothing physically of an earthly sense, also nothing spiritually. That's what we are. We're mere babes. God must act. God is the author. We could have turned to many passages, but we read from Galatians 4 this evening. Notice how the apostle speaks of God's activity there. In verse 4, God sent forth His Son. And why? Verse 5, to redeem. The Son redeemed us. Because we were redeemed, we have received redemption as sons. End of verse 5. Then verse 6, and because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Where's the work of man in this passage? Where is man's activity? It's all of God. The Holy Spirit is God. He is the author of our sanctification from beginning to end. It is God, not man. Now, we are responsible to respond, but the author of salvation, including our sanctification, is God. Again, consider baptism. shows us, it assures us that God the Father makes an everlasting covenant of grace with us, that God the Son washes us in His blood. God the Spirit assures us that He will dwell in us and sanctify us, imparting to us that which we have in Christ. Earthly water does nothing to cleanse our souls from sin. Nor can you and I, mere humans, make the earthly water do something spiritual. We can't do it when we're babies. We can't do it when we're young adults. We can't do it when we're parents. It's all of God, from first to last. And what a blessing that is, that it's not our power, the power of the parents, the righteousness of the parents. It's God. He's the author. The Holy Spirit sanctifies God's people. Holy baptism is further proof of what we confess. It is authored by God. Baptism points to, as we consider what sanctification is, our sanctification. It's not something that occurs, though, entirely outside of us. But as we move to in our second point, it occurs within us. It occurs within us. Here again, we turn to Galatians 4, verses 4 through 7. Verse 6, we read, "Because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts." The way the Bible uses that word heart means our very selves. Young people, doesn't mean your physical organ of your heart, we call our heart. It's who you are at your deepest. God sends His Spirit there. As the Catechism puts it, the Holy Spirit has been given to me personally. This work of sanctification occurs within us. Now, sanctification is different than other parts of salvation. We think of God the Father and His choosing us, electing us before the foundation of the world, choosing us to be holy and loved in His sight. That choosing, that electing, that occurred outside us. It was before we were born. It was before the world was created. Election directly concerns us, but it's something entirely outside us. And so too, with what the Son did, the redemption the Son accomplished. He paid the price for our deliverance. Jesus did that when He died on Golgotha's tree. Children, remember, do you know how long ago that was? Almost 2,000 years ago. Jesus paid for your sin by His suffering, His dying, as our sacrifice, as our substitute. That too is something outside us, entirely outside us, but that directly concerns us. We weren't even alive at the time. Thousands of years beforehand. God's choosing, God's electing, Christ paying the price for our sins, redeeming us. Those all occur outside of us, but not with sanctification. The Holy Spirit's work in our salvation, that occurs within us. Again, as we read from Galatians 4, verse 6, God has sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts. What could be closer than the core of our being, our very hearts? Christianity is more than right doctrine. And Christianity is more than something that happened 2,000 years ago. Well, those are very important, foundational. We've seen that the past number of weeks. We know that. But unless God sends the Spirit of His Son into your heart, all that Christ did profits you nothing. All of Christ's perfect life, all of Christ's perfect obedience, every drop of Christ's precious blood shed on the cross, all of His sufferings, all of that does nothing for someone unless God sends His Spirit into your heart. And so it is with baptism. Baptism is commanded by Christ, and so we administer even to infants. But baptism itself does not save. It points to the gospel promise. It assures us of the gospel promise. But baptism is not itself the gospel promise. Is not itself salvation. Now, Christianity depends upon historical facts, real history. But your salvation, your sanctification depend also upon God sending His Spirit into your heart. Children, this is for you too, as much as baptism is for you. sanctification. So if someone is not being sanctified, it shows that person's not a true Christian. Now, does that mean each day we live a more upright life than the day before? No. No, we have our ups and downs. But there is a change. There is a change within every saint. The Holy Spirit must be living within someone for him, for her, to be a true Christian. And so I ask, as God's pastor, to you, is the Holy Spirit living within you? By God's grace, do not have your religion only outward, only in the head. But let it be something God has worked within you by his Spirit also. The Holy Spirit sanctifies God's people. That occurs within us. God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. Now, we should distinguish the steps in our life as Christians. Sanctification occurs within us, but again, we need to keep always our eyes on the source of our sanctification. And that which the Holy Spirit does, that he roots us in Christ. And that we come to in our third point, rooted in Christ. Now we've said the work of the Spirit is within us, and that's true, but we always need to draw attention to the work of Christ on our behalf. We think of the part of our salvation that occurs outside of us, of justification, that through faith in Jesus, Jesus' righteousness is credited to believers so that God considers you righteous. So God forgives your and my sins, all our sins, that all those who entrust themselves to Jesus, you're completely forgiven of your sins for the sake of Christ. That's always outside us. In this life, we never perfectly internalize that perfect righteousness that God credits to us. But Christ, by the work of the Spirit, imparts his righteousness to us, so we make progress in this life of holiness. That's sanctification. That occurs within us by the work of the Spirit. And yet we're not mystics. We believe in the work of the Holy Spirit, in his dwelling within our hearts, but the focus of the work of the Spirit in our hearts, in our lives, is to unite us to Christ. To unite us to Christ through faith, so that we share in Christ and all his blessings. As we read in Galatians 4, verse 6, it is the Spirit of his Son that God has sent into our hearts. As the Catechism rightly says, he makes me share in Christ and all his blessings. We do not seek a path to God through the Holy Spirit to replace the path through Christ or as a parallel path to Christ. We need a mediator between God and us. The Apostle Paul wrote in 1 Timothy 2:5, there is one mediator, not two. Certainly not Mary, but also not the Spirit. There is one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. And the Holy Spirit is God. He does not mediate between God and us, but the Holy Spirit unites us through faith to Jesus. It's Jesus who mediates between God and us. The Holy Spirit sanctifies God's people, and that sanctification is rooted in Christ, not in the Holy Spirit. What does that mean? We are to look for spiritual blessings in Christ, not in the Holy Spirit. It is Christ who obeyed perfectly for us. It is Christ that God's righteousness is revealed. It is Christ who paid the price for our sin. It is Christ who is the firstborn from the dead. Baptism itself points us to Christ, even though we're baptized into the name of the triune God. For baptism points us to washing. Washing with Christ's blood and Spirit. So we read from Galatians 4, it is the Son of God who was born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law. All that you and I need is found in Christ, who is the last Adam, as we read in 1 Corinthians 15, who is the head of the church, whose body we are. Our sanctification is rooted in Jesus, not in the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the agent of our sanctification, causing us to share in Christ. Christ is the source of our sanctification. There are many people today who claim to focus on the Holy Spirit and what they think is His work in their lives. And they point to what they think are prophecies or speaking in tongues or words of knowledge or feelings or so on. They're focusing on the wrong person. Jesus said in John 15, verse 26, "But when the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, He will bear witness about Me." The Holy Spirit, as He works, does not draw attention to Himself. But as Christ drew attention to His Father, so the Holy Spirit draws attention to the Son. The Holy Spirit is the agent of sanctification, but He's sent by the Father and the Son, sent to unite us to Christ. It is through Christ we approach the Father, not through the Spirit. In the Spirit, not through the Spirit. As Jesus said, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through Me." We are not Pentecostals or charismatics, and we are not mystics. If you're looking for the work of the Spirit in those ways, you are missing the heart of His work. And you're being distracted from our only mediator and deliverer, Jesus. Sanctification is not a result of the Holy Spirit's storehouse of virtue being imparted to you, but by Christ imparting to you His own blessedness, imparting by the Holy Spirit. As we read in Galatians 4, 6, God sends the Spirit of His Son into our hearts. The work of the Holy Spirit, His sanctifying work within us, is rooted in Christ. And therefore, in our worship services, we seek to have the gospel of Christ proclaimed. The gospel of Christ front and center in word and in sacrament. Not our own experience, not our own saying what the Holy Spirit has done within us. Not the work of the Spirit as some consider His work to be. In worship, we do not seek to excite people, to give some mystical experience, to touch God. Is the gospel promise. Baptism, signified and sealed. Communion, signified and sealed. In the preaching. And this evening we witnessed the sacrament of baptism administered to two babies. The focus of baptism wasn't on those babies. It was on God's gospel promise to forgive our sins and give us eternal life by grace alone because of Christ's one sacrifice finished on the cross. Focus on Christ. Trust in Jesus. Is the Holy Spirit necessary then? Of course. For who can ascend into heaven and lay hold of Christ? We can't. And children, we don't see Jesus now, do we? Think of the sacrament. Again, the water, it's simply water. We need the Holy Spirit. He alone can make us share in Christ. He alone bridges the gap between believers on earth and the object of our faith, Christ in heaven. We come to Christ through faith, which the Spirit works within us, and through faith we share in Christ and all His blessings. All that Christ accomplished outside of us, in history, in time, 2,000 years ago, we confess that by the Holy Spirit, through faith, we share in Him and His blessings. That objective takes on a subjective. That which is outside of us then comes to us. That which is apart from us in history and space, the blessing of it is now within us by the work of the Holy Spirit through faith. That is a great mystery. We can't plumb the depths of it. And yet it's gloriously true. And these children, what difference is there from when they were baptized just moments ago, before and after? Nothing physically, earthly. But what a promise has been sealed to them. The Holy Spirit's at work. The Holy Spirit sanctifies God's people. The sanctification is rooted in Christ. And since it is a work of God in Christ, we can be assured that this work is effective. As we consider, fourthly, that it bears fruit in us, bearing fruit in us. We read from another passage in this epistle to the Galatians, Galatians 5, verse 16 through 26, a well-known passage to many, giving the fruit of the Spirit of God. That is, if the Spirit of God has been given to an individual, he or she will show forth this fruit in varying measure of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Earlier, you were asked if the Holy Spirit lives within your heart. As you reflect on that question, upon the presence of the Spirit, don't look if you speak in tongues. Say, I haven't spoken in tongues. How do I know the Spirit? It appears he doesn't. Look here. You're trusting in Jesus. Do you see the fruit of the Spirit? Those who are joined to Christ will evidence fruit of belonging to Him. Those in whose heart the Holy Spirit abides and lives will evidence fruit of His dwelling. Why? Because we're so holy and good? No, but because Christ by His Spirit will cause us to produce this fruit. Our salvation consists not only of having been justified, of having been accounted righteous in Christ and thus forgiven all our sins, but our salvation also consists in our being sanctified, our having Christ's righteousness imparted to us by the Spirit, and thus already in this life, beginning a life of obedience. The Holy Spirit sanctifies God's people. And even for these children, we trust the Spirit's already at work. And we'll see that fruit as they grow. What a comfort this is to us, brothers and sisters. We not only trust God forgives our sins, we not only hope in the glory of heaven, but even now we have a foretaste of that heavenly glory in our sanctification. We have the kingdom of heaven coming to us by the Spirit of Christ already in measure now in our sanctification, in our having the fruit of the Spirit in our hearts and lives. And children, that's for you also. Think about it, this present evil age, this fallen world, look around. What do we see? What does the apostle say? The works of the flesh. They're evident. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, things like these. What did our state legalize recently? But marijuana for any use. You see, in these works of the flesh, those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But you, saint of God, child of God, you, the one in whom the Holy Spirit lives and produces this fruit, with this fruit you already experience now the joys of the kingdom of heaven. Here is good. Good from God, come into our world, into this fallenness, this brokenness. What a comfort. Sin in the world, sin in ourselves, weighs us down. We who have been born again by the Spirit of God, it weighs us heavy on us, doesn't it? But witnessing this fruit in ourselves, in others, seeing it as these children, Lord willing, grow, as they're trained, as they show this fruit, it's refreshing. Holy Spirit sanctifies God's people and is sanctifying of us, bears fruit in us. The Holy Spirit's very active. Now, my family and I, we've only been here about 6 months. But I've seen so much the Holy Spirit active. He's active in Reformed churches. He's active here in Dutton United Reformed Church, very much so. Don't look at it in ways God hasn't promised, though. Look for it in preaching and sacraments. Look for it in faith, and the fruit of the Spirit. You see the Holy Spirit very active, bearing fruit in your lives. But there's one other part of His ministry we consider this evening. We move to in our fifth point. His sanctifying work is also guaranteed to continue. It's guaranteed to continue. Now we think hopes and dreams and plans. We think of these children. Perhaps, parents, you have wonderful plans for them, wonderful hopes, wonderful dreams. We don't know what will happen. We don't know what hopes and dreams, our plans come to completion. Many don't. Sometimes that's a good thing. Sometimes we're glad they didn't, but other times it's tragic. But such is not the case with the Spirit's work of sanctifying us. His work is guaranteed to continue. We read from 1 Corinthians 15, and in verse 45, there's a lot there. In verse 45, the Apostle Paul brings out the contrast between the first man, Adam, that God made a living being, and the last Adam, Jesus Christ, who became a life-giving spirit. By our first birth, we come in the image of the first Adam, one who was alive at one time, but because of his sin, died. So we too, like all other things in this life, we have a beginning. We end in death. However, by the work of the Spirit, beginning with our new birth, our regeneration, we bear the image of the last Adam, of Christ, who has become a life-giving spirit. There's no end to this life. There's no diminishing. There's no decreasing. It's always springing forth. It's always the source of life. He is life-giving. And therefore, the work of the Spirit in your heart, in your life, that work is guaranteed to continue. It's what our Savior has become by His death and resurrection, life-giving Spirit. It's what the Holy Spirit of God, of Christ, brings to us, this life springing from Christ. It cannot end. It's the Spirit whom Christ received from the Father and has poured out upon the church, upon His body. Do you truly believe in the Holy Spirit? Do you believe that God Himself, the Spirit of Christ, has been poured out upon the church? And proof of that was given on the day of Pentecost. Outward signs of speaking in tongues then. But the reality is so much greater than that sign on that day. The reality. You've been given life by the life-giving Spirit. We have the Holy Spirit as a down payment that we are not dependent upon the things of this world, but the power of the life-giving Spirit. We're continually sustained in life. Therefore, we seek the things that are above. Christ is seated, from where He pours out His Spirit upon us. Our affections, our attitudes, our motivations, our principles, no longer are they of the earth, earthly, but from the Lord of heaven. And baptism is a sign and seal of God's promise of this wonderful work. God's promise to all who believe. Parents, tell your baptized children of this. Raise them to know the Lord. Convey to them your hope, your joy, your faith. And you can't bring them to faith yourself. You can't work that. But you can model it. You can show them. There is a God and He's active. He's changed me. He's your God. Pray that the Spirit would strengthen them in their inner man. That Christ would dwell in their heart through faith. Pray that for yourself also. Your whole life long. The Spirit's work of sanctification within you is guaranteed to continue until you are made perfect. And therefore, brothers and sisters, trust in Christ, His redeeming work for you. Through faith, receive all His blessings by the work of His Spirit within you, the Spirit who sanctifies you. And praise God for His work of sanctification for His Spirit, who sanctifies you. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, what a blessing. This covenant You have made with us and our children. Promises, wonderful promises. And that it doesn't depend upon us and our piety, our goodness, even our upbringing, but Your grace. You send the Spirit of Your Son into our hearts. that you author our sanctification. You promised to continue it. It's guaranteed. Thank you so much, for we are weak. We are dead in ourselves. But you are strong and you are life-giving. Thank you, Lord, for not leaving us where we were, not leaving us where we belong in ourselves, but joining us to Christ by your Spirit. Hold us fast to him. Have the fruit of the Spirit abound in our lives. And may you receive all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen.